Welcome to Maseches Sanhedrin and the Gemara markings. If you are not fully familiar with our marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to Daf Beis Omid Aleph in Maseches Sanhedrin, we will notice a phenomenon that happens from time to time in different Masechtas in the Shas, where a Mishnah occupies the entire Omid Gemara, and in this case, the next Omid as well, or in other words, a very long Mishnah. In this case, as in those other cases as well, the Perek is featured by having an opening soul Mishnah, whereby the entire Perek is going to be based on this Mishnah. There will be no further Mishnayos appearing in the Perek. The details, of course, must be left to the Gemara, each section when it appears. In the Shas Ozer edition, we feature in the outside margin, often, topic headings and structural notes to explain the different geometric symbols that will be appearing in the sugya. In this case, we have a topic note and structural note combined. Nosei Mivneh, as you can see in the outside margin, and you see a little house form. This little house form, it corresponds to the house forms that you see in the Mishnah itself. This refers to the Mispar Hadayonim Hadrushim Lenosim Shonim, the number of judges that are drushim, required for different topics. We featured Aleph Shlosha, 3 Dayonim, Beis Esrim Ushlosha, 23 judges, and Gimel Shivim Ve'echod, 71 judges. As we go through the Mishnah, at each point in the Mishnah, there will be different opinions regarding some of these different numbers and topics. As we begin the Mishnah, we mention once again that the details of each section will be discussed in the Gemara at its appropriate point. Before we continue with the Mishnah, we can look in the little space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you see the house forms, Bez Din Shel 3, and a little further down the page, Bez Din Shel 23, and after that, Bez Din Shel Shivim Ve'echod of 71. These little house markings correspond to the section of the Mishnah that will be dealing with these numbers. The Mishnah opens, Dine Momenes B'Shloisha, laws, cases regarding financial matters are taken care of or are judged by 3 Dayonim, Gezelos V'Chavolos B'Shloisha, theft and battery by 3 judges as well. You can see that we've dashed, underlined the expression b'shlosha. The Gemara will deal with the seeming redundancy, whereby we know that theft and battery are examples of dine momenis, as opposed to capital cases. These cases involve financial restoration. So why is it necessary to have the opening expression dine momenis stated, and then the details stated again? Wouldn't it have been sufficient to say just one of them? The Mishnah continues, Nezek v'chatzi Nezek. Nezek payment is also a payment that takes place in the case of where there's battery, where there's a beating, where a person suffers being hit by somebody else or another animal. There's a nezek payment. Chatzinezek is a case of a shor tam, an animal that hasn't demonstrated itself to be malicious. He pays up till 3 gorings, he'll pay a half nezek payment. Tashlumei kefel, a double payment that's characteristic of a ganov, of a thief. V'tashlumei arba of a chamisha v'shlosha, and the payments that are made in the case of the theft of a shor, of an ox, or a keves, or a tzon of a sheep. Those are situations where the animals are stolen and subsequently slaughtered or sold. They pay 4 or 5 times the value. The cases of those natures are judged by 3. Ha'ines v'hamefate, cases of rape and seduction. V'hamotzi shemra, case where a man marries a woman and declares that she's not a virgin as he had expected, are judged bishlosha. Divrei Rabbi Meir, v'chachomim omrim, motzi shemra be'esrim u'shlosha. The case of motzi shemra that we just mentioned is judged by 23. Mipnei shiyesh boi dinei nefoshos. 23 is the number of judges that's characteristic of capital cases, and it's pointed, the Chachamim hold that the case of Motzi Shemra, if it's found out that what this husband says about her being immoral under their marriage, meaning after he was Mekadesh her, after he started the marriage process, she went ahead and acted immorally with another man, if it turns out to be true, witnesses can be produced to prove that, then she will be subject to a capital penalty. And as a result of that, the Chachamim feel that there should be 23 judges dealing with the case of Motzi Shemra. You notice in our markings, we had used an aleph a few lines up where it said Motzi Shemra Bishlosha, and then a base appeared by Motzi Shemra Bishlosha, representing 2 shitas within the case of Motzi Shemra. Again, we see the same type of markings here. We have an aleph and the next line base, because the issue of Makos Bishlosha, that's the first opinion, that the case involving Makos, which is often translated as flagellation, where a person receives a whipping as a result of violating different types of offenses, he's judged by 3. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, and notice the base here, this is a second opinion within the case of Makos. He says, Be'esrim Mishlosha, that you need 23 judges for Makos. Ibor HaChodesh Bishlosha. These are cases involving calculations to establish when a new month appears, when a month is extended by a day, depending on witnesses seeing the new moon, Ibor Hashana, Bishlosha, and calculations required to establish whether there's a necessity of adding another month to the Jewish calendar, an Ador Sheni, in order to align the Jewish months with the different solar phenomenon that have to be aligned as far as the establishment of the holidays in their respective proper seasons. That is called Ibur Hashana. That's Bishlosha, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Bishlosha Maschilin. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has a different approach. He says that they start their calculations with 3, uva chamisha noisin v'noisnim, and if there's need for continued deliberation, so another 2 are added for 5, and v'goymrim b'shiva, and the conclusion is reached with 7 judges. V'im gomru b'shloisha mu'beres, and if they decided on their decision with 3, then it's established as an extra month, and hence an Ibur Shana, a year that's called an Ibur Shana. Smichas Zikenim, in the event that the Sanhedrin HaGodol erred in their legal rulings in specific cases without getting into details. There's a necessity of bringing a korban note known as par helem dover shel tzibor, special korban, and this sacrifice requires the placing of the hands on it. So this is called smichas zechenim, the placing of the hands by the sages, by the elders. In the case of a par helem dover shel tzibor, that process, and the arifas egla, the case of a murdered individual found between two communities, the closer of the two communities has to go through a ceremony involving the breaking of the neck of a calf known as arifas egla, egla arufa. Those ceremonies, smicha zekenim and arifas egla, are bishlosha, divrei Rabbi Shimon, three judges. According to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'chamisha, he says five. The reasons for these number differences, of course, will be the subject of the discussion in the Gemara. Hachalitza, the process of freeing a widow of someone who died, leaving no children, and her brother being in the position to marry her if they should agree. If he doesn't want to marry her, so there's the shoe removal ceremony known as chalitza, v'hami'unin, a situation where a girl under adulthood is married off by her brother or mother through a kiddushin or a nisuin derabbanan. If she refuses to continue being with this husband, with this rabbinic husband, so to speak, meaning the rabbinic marriage husband, she can say, I don't want to continue with him. That's called mi'un. These two ceremonies, chalitza and mi'un, b'shlosha, three judges. Neta revayu maisu sheni, she'en dom of yiduin, situations of fruits of the fourth year or the Meiser Sheni tithe, which is characteristic of the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, in the event that these fruits, which ought to be brought to Yerushalayim, but if they need to be evaluated, valued and redeemed in a situation where their market value is not known, for example, they're starting to rot, and the owner wants to redeem them and bring the money, the value of the fruits to Yerushalayim and eat and buy food there instead. So these fruits, the Netta Revai, fourth year fruits, and Meiser Sheni, first, second, fourth year tithe, have to be evaluated, and that evaluation is done bishlosha, three dayonim. Hahekdeshos bishlosha, person that wants to redeem things that he sanctified, and it needs to go through an evaluation, an appraisal, that is done bishlosha. Ha'arachin hametatalin bishlosha. The Gemara will explain this particular element, but that evaluation is done by three as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, echod mehem koyin, one of the appraisers must be a koyin. Vakarkois tisha v'koyin, appraisal of land in this context of redemption, the land that was sanctified to the temple fund, it needs to be evaluated and appraised by ten, one of whom must be a koyin. The Odom Kayotze Bohen, a person who is coming to redeem himself from a state of sanctification, is like the aforementioned examples as well in terms of numbers of judges required. Dine Nefoshos. Notice at this point we have featured a slash in the Mishnah because we're now beginning a new topic. And we also have our little house form in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, indicating we're now going to discuss the issue of 23 judges needed for judging capital cases. Dine nefoshos, cases involving capital crimes, be'esr mushlosha. Haroveya v'hanirba, these are cases of bestiality, where a human being experiences immorality with an animal. Roveya, where there's, where the party is active, or the nearby, the receiver of this in the passive party in this active immorality, be'esrim u'shlosha shnemar, needs 23. The pasuk indicates v'harakto es ha'isha ve'es ha'behema, there's the woman who's involved with this is subject to a death penalty, and the animal. The woman being the example of the nirbas, of the passive participant, and the animal in this case being the active one. The Omer, another pasuk says, Ves habehemo tarogu. This second pasuk, which refers to the death of an animal, that's a situation where the animal is the receiver, the nirba, and the man is having relations with it. Those cases, as we said, are judged by 23. Shor haniskal be'esrim ushlosha. Case of an animal that gored a human being and killed the person. The animal, the goring animal, is subject to the death beskila, stoning. It's judged by 23. So you may be raising an eyebrow. It's interesting that an animal is subject to a court of 23. That's based on the pasuk shenemar hashor yisokel v'gam be'olav yumas. The animal that did the goring is stoned, and it says, and the owner also dies. But we know that the owner doesn't actually die. He's not subject to a death penalty in the simple sense. However, for our purposes, we see a comparison in this pasuk to the animal which is stoned to the person. In what sense? Kamisas bailam kach misas hashor. Just like a human being when subject to a capital case, he is judged by 23. So too, the animal, when it is dealt with in a capital form, to suffer the death penalty, gets judged by 23. The following is a list of animals, and these animals described here are those that killed a person and are judged b'skila. Hazeev v'hari, azeev, often translated as a wolf, ari, a lion, dove, a bear, nomer, another type of animal, possibly a leopard, bardalus, v'hanochosh, serpent, misoson be'esrim u'shlosha. They're judged by 23 as well. Rabbi Lozer Omer, kol ha'kidim lahorgon zocha. From his comment, it doesn't seem that a number of judges is that important. Whoever is swift to kill them is zoche, benefits or merits. Rabbi Kiva Omer Misosan Be'esrim U'Shlosha. Rabbi Kiva says you need 23. Of course, these points, as we mentioned before, and we are reviewing this point, will be discussed in greater detail in the Gemara. Notice we have another house form in the little space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, indicating Bezin Shel 71. At this point, we now discuss the Sanhedrin Hagdola. Sanhedrin Hagdola, the court of 71, as opposed to Sanhedrin Ketana, court of 23. Ein donin loy es hashevet, in a situation where a tribe, there are Klal Yisrael, is made of 12 tribes, a situation where Rove of a Shevet was involved with idolatry, they are judged if they were involved with premeditated idolatry. They are judged by what we'll see is a court of 71, the Sanhedrin Agdola, Veloi es Novi Hasheker, the false prophet, Velo es Kayin Gadol, the high priest. These are cases that are judged by Ola Alpi Bezin Shel Shivim Ve'echad, a court of 71. The Ein Moitzin Lemilchemes Horashus Ola Alpi Bezin Shel Shivim Ve'echad. The decision to enter a war is done by a court of 71. The term Milchemes HaRashus is described by Rashi over here, a very, very provocative, interesting Rashi, which is worthy of a much greater discussion based on other sources. But here Rashi says, Milchemes HaRashus, Kol Milchoma Kori Rashus, all wars are categorized as Milchemes Rashus. Rishus, loosely translated as optional wars, levad mi milchemes Yehoshua, with the exception of the wars that Yehoshua conducted in the conquest of the land of Israel, shehoiso lechiboish es Eretz Israel. Those were the wars designed to conquer the land of Israel upon entrance into the land. Outside of Yehoshua's wars, all other wars, according to Rashi over here, are categorized as milchemes or Rishus, with possibly much greater ramifications, but that's not the purview of our shiur right now. Continuing in the Gemara, Ein Moisifin al Ho'ir val Ozoros, the addition to the city of Yerushalayim, adding to the municipal boundaries of Yerushalayim, as far as the halacha is concerned, has bearing on the consumption of different forms of food that are categorized as holy. Whether you're dealing with Meiser Sheni, which is the tithe that we described earlier from the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, which needs to be consumed in that which is legally Yerushalayim, legally and halachically Yerushalayim, as well as Kochim Kalim, the lighter form of sacrifices that can be consumed outside the temple, outside the Beis HaMikdash. When we say outside the Beis HaMikdash in the context of Korbonos, we mean outside the Beis HaMikdash, but within Yerushalayim. So if there's a decision made to increase the municipal boundaries of Yerushalayim, it has bearing on those topics and other topics possibly as well, which we're not going to get into. The issue of adding to those boundaries and the boundaries of the Azora, of the temple courtyard, these decisions must be made Ela al pi beis din shel shivan ve'echad, only through the decision of a court of 71. The ein oisin sanhedrios l'shivotim Ela al pi beis din shel shivan ve'echad, and the appointment of tribal courts. Those courts are appointed by the Sanhedrin HaGedoyla. The Ein Oisin Yir HaNidachas El Al Pi Bezin Shel Shivim VeEchod, and the ruling concerning a city that engaged in premeditated idolatry, known as an Yir HaNidachas, that decision or case is judged by a court of 71. Ein Oisin Yir HaNidachas Besfar, once the Mishnah mentioned the issue of the idolatrous city, another point is mentioned, and that is that a city is not labeled as an Ir HaNidachas if it's a border town, Sfar, border town, Velo, Shalosh, and likewise three cities are not to be deemed as Ore HaNidachas. Aval Oysen Achas Oshtayim. However, one or two cities can be judged as such. At this point in the Mishnah, we've added a little topic heading to the outside margin in our new edition of the Shas Ozer, which appears on your screen. The Nosei Mivneh, we're going to notice a double underline used shortly. At this point in the Mishnah, there are Mekoros, sources, Leminyan Hadayonim, for the number of judges that we've mentioned so far, the numbers 71 and 23. Sanhedrin Gedola, Hoysa Shel Shivim Ve'echad, Uktana Shel Esrim Ushlosha. As we've seen already, the Sanhedrin Gedola numbered 71, and the small Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin Ktana, 23. Minayin L'Gedola Shehi Shel Shivim Ve'echad. Notice the double underline. This is one of our series markings, as you can see. A few lines later, Uminayin Liktana. We've also added a slash underline to the numbers Shivim Ve'echad and further down Esrim Shlosha to emphasize that that's what we're dealing with. So, how do you know Minayin Ligadola Shehi Shel Shivim Ve'echad Shneamar? Pasuk says, Isfoli Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael. That's the Pasuk. Gather to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, 70 sages, U'Moshe al Gabehen, and Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed to be over them, supervising them. So you have the Pasuk mentions Shivim, 70, and Moshe as part of them, 71. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shivim. They're just 70 members of a Sanhedrin Gedola. Uminayin liktana shehi shel esrim ushalsha. From where do we know that a Sanhedrin ketana number is 23? Shneamar. The pasuk says v'shoftu ha'eda v'hitzilu ha'eda. The Gemara now analyzes. Eda shofetes. An edah, which the assumption right now is a reference to a group of 10 people, shofetes means condemns. The edah, and the posuk mentioned the term edah twice, and so this is a reference to another 10, matzeles, hare kan esrim. Matzeles means exempts or saves, literally. So we see in this posuk an accounting for 20, hare kan esrim, that's what we mean. We add 10 and 10 to get 20. Uminayin le'edah shi asara. If we were assuming that edah meant 10, so the Gemara, the Mishnah now asks, how do you know that edah means, is a reference to 10? The Gemara answers, Shinemar, in the Pasuk says, in the context of the Meraglim, those were the spies that were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu to scout out Eretz Yisrael, in Parshas Shlach, in Sefer Bamidbar, it says, Ad Mosai lo edo horo'o hazos. Regarding that group of spies, the Pasuk uses the term edo, as we've dashed underlined, this evil group. When referring to the spies, we know there were 12 that were sent. But the Pasuk refers to an edo horo'o, the evil group. Of the 12 that were sent, 2 were righteous. Yotsu Yehoshua v'Kolev, to the exclusion of these two individuals, leaving me with 10. So the term Edah is assumed to be 10. Uminayin lahavi oid shlosha. From where do we know that we add another 3? If you told me that Sanhedrin Ktana is 23, the pasuk that we just saw got me up to 20 alone, not 23. How do you know that we add another 3? So the Mishnah explains, Mimashma Shenemar Lo Siachre Rabim Lo Ra'ois. There's a pasuk that says that one should not follow the majority when it comes to evil. Shomeani, I can infer, I would be able to infer on my own, She'ehye Imohem Lotova, that one should follow majority opinions when they are for the good, when they are positive. Im kein lomo nema achre rabin lahatus. So why is there another pasuk that says follow the majority? So the Gemara answers, the Mishnah answers, lo ke hatoyoscha l'toiva hatoyoscha l'ra'ah. The type of majority that is characteristic of toiva, of good, is not like the majority that decides negative, decides ra'ah. The Mishnah explains, "Hatayoscha l'toiva al pi echad." When there's a decision of a positive nature, in other words, the ruling is let the man live. Man is ruled to be innocent and doesn't have to suffer a death penalty. So we say there, it's sufficient to have a majority of one. "Hatayoscha l'ra'ah." If you're dealing with a negative decision, namely a decision to condemn the man to a death penalty, then al pi shnayim, the majority necessary must be the majority where there are at least there are 2 more in favor of the death penalty. The ain based in shokel, and another point is added immediately, and hence we had have our little connector marking at the very end of the page where it said al pi shnayim, and not to stop there but to continue reading the ain based in shokel, and we do not allow for an even number of judges. So if we started with 20 and we said that the ruling for condemnation must be a majority of 2, so then you would have 12 against 10, that would be 22, but 22 is an even number, and as a result of that, Moisifin Alehem Oid Echad, we add another judge to the number, Harei Kan Esrim Ushlosha. That gets you up to 23 judges. V'kamo yehei be'ir v'tei ru'uya l'Sanhedrin. How many people must be living in a city in order for the city to have in its midst a court of 23? So the first opinion is mea v'esrim. If there are 120 residents, then the city is said to be fit to have a court of 23. Again, as we mentioned before, a detail that will be explained and dealt with by the Gemara. A second opinion, Rabbi Nehemiah Omer, Mosayim Ushloshim. The city must have 230 citizens, Keneged Sore Asoros. In with respect, in honor of, or with respect to the concept of Sorei Asaros, people in, said to be in charge of 10 others. The Rashi explains here, Mosayim Ushloshim, Dahainu, 23 Asirios, 23 groups of 10, Sheikol Echad Mi Bezdin, so that the members, each one of the members of the Bezdin of 23 will be Sar Shel Asara. He'll be a person who is in charge of 10. The Botzir Me Asara, that less than 10, Lo Ashkechon Sror, we don't find officialdom with less than 10 people. So you need someone representing or in charge of 10 others in order to have the city worthy of a court of 23, namely 23 people, each one in charge of 10, giving me a total of 230 residents. As we turn to the Gemara, the Gemara opens up with the question of redundancy that we found in the opening of the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, Otu gezelois v'chavolois lav dine momenos vinu? Would one suggest that the issues of theft and battery are not under the heading of dine momenos? Of course they are. And that being the case, why was it necessary, after telling me that dine momenos are judged by three, why was it necessary to spell out Chavolos, Gezeilos v'Chavolos are done by three? Before we go on, let us take a note. Let's take note of some of our markings. We're going to notice now a diamond. We see in the little space between the Gemara and the Tosis, immediately to the left, to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, a one in a diamond. This one draws our attention to the need to find a number two, and we're not going to find it so quickly. We'd have to scan down the rest of the page, and we don't find a number two. You'll find it only on Gimel Amud Aleph, where Rava's name appears, and a number two on the same side of the Gemara text to the right-hand side. There you'll see your number two. What do these diamonds represent? So, of course, in the middle of the line, Rabbi Avol's name is in a diamond. The corresponding name is on Gimel Amud Aleph, Rava's name. We've indicated on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, and we've also indicated that this goes to Ad Gimel Amud Aleph. These diamonds are two Hezberim L'Tchilas HaMishnah, two explanations regarding the opening line of the Mishnah. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice the use of a double underline, which is also one of our series markings. This double underline features the expression Hava Amina, what I would have thought had I not taught both and taught only one. In addition to that, we also encounter a long answer marking. As Rabbi Avol opens up his answer, it's going to take a few lines of Gemara. This is indicated by the encircled tuf that you see between the Gemara and the Tosis, with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of the answer. Tuf is for teretz, answer. After raising the question, why the redundancy, Omar Rabbi Avohu? Rabbi Avohu answers, Mahein Kotoni. The Mishnah itself opens up with a general statement which is explained by the Mishnah. And what we've done, we provided a frame around what is imagined to be the Mishnah. In our marking system, we treat all Tanaic sources, whether they be Mishnayos or Brises, and in addition to that, all the restatements thereof, as well as if they were Tanaic sources. So here, Rabbi Avohu would like us to understand the Mishnah as follows. Mahein dine momenos. What are categorized as dine momenos? Gezelos v'chavolos. Theft and battery. Avol hoidois v'halvois loi. However, hoidos, this is a situation where someone says in the presence of witnesses, I admit that I owe you a certain sum of money. Halvois, cases of loans. Lo, they are excluded. In other words, dine momenos, the Mishnah says, are gezelos v'chavolos, to the exclusion of hoidos v'halvois. Of course, everyone will ask themselves, what do you mean to exclude hodos v'avos? There are also cases of financial matters. The Gemara will deal with that question later on. Before we go further, though, we now deal with this issue. Why is it necessary to have the Mishnah opening and then explain itself? Utsricha, I need this. The E Tana, we've squiggled underlined this expression E Tana because there's a corresponding E Tana a few lines later. Each point here is emphasizing what I would have thought had I taught only one. The E Tana, Dine Momenus, had I taught just Dine Momenus, where the Mishnah would say Dine Momenus Mishlosha and not mention a word about Gezelus V'chavolos, Have, I mean, I would have thought, the Afilu Hoidos V'chavolos, that in our discussion is to include Hodos V'chavolos as well. Therefore, Tana Gezelus V'chavolos. We've written in small words, Lochain, this is not we're not adding words to the text, but it's to be imagined as if it were saying, and therefore, lachain, and therefore, so as to preclude this false, erroneous assumption, therefore, the Mishnah says specifically, the Dine Momenus that we are discussing are Gezelus V'chavolos. The Itana Gezelus V'chavolos, V'lo Kotoni Dine Momenus, had the Mishnah taught that Gezelus V'chavolos are judged by three, and not made mention of Dine Momenus, Have Amina, I would have once again thought Hu Adin Dafilu Hodois V'Havolos. I would have thought that it's mentioning Gezelus V'Havolos, but I should assume cases of admission and loans are also included. We have a bracketed section, which for this moment, just skip it for a moment, and the length of the brackets is indicated by the vertical dash dotted line on the left-hand side of the Gemara text. To preserve the flow of the reading, we just read that had we taught Gezelus V'chavolos and not used the expression Dine Momenos, I would have thought to include Hodos V'chavolos. Now we skip. Therefore, Tana Mahein Dine Momenos Gezelus V'chavolos Avol Hodos V'chavolos Lo. Therefore, it was necessary to spell out what are the Dine Momenus that we are discussing, only Gezelus V'chavolos, to the exclusion of Hoidos V'chavolos. Now, we go back and read the Gemara straight through, without the skip. Let's go to the line above the brackets, where we said, had the Mishnah taught Gezelus V'chavolos and not taught Dine Momenus, Have Amina, we're picking up from the double underline Have Amina, I would have thought, Hu Hadin Dafilo Hoidois V'chavolos, that even though the Mishnah mentions Gezelus V'chavolos, theft and battery, I would have thought to include the cases of admission of financial debt and loans as well. V'hai de Kotoni Gezelus V'chavolos, and that which the Mishnah said explicitly, theft and battery, mishum de ikur shloisha de ksivi, the original source that speaks about three begzelos v'chavolos ksivi. In the Torah, the number three judges, the number of three judges, appears in the context of theft and battery. Let's read that line again. Mishum de ikur gimel de ksivi, begzelos v'chavolos ksivi. And the Gemara spells this out. Gzelos, the case of theft. Theft here, by the way, is a reference to someone who received an article to watch, often translated in fine English as a bailee, a shomer, and a person appointed to watch an article. Dichtiv, it says, V'nikrav bal habayis el ho'elohim. The case is brought to, the term Elohim is a reference to a judge. What does a shomer have to do with theft? The issue here involves a shomer, someone who was asked to watch an article who used it. It's known as sholeach yad bepikadon, who used it, and as a result of his handling it when he should not have, something happened to the article, and that case is brought to the court. And hence, since there is a financial loss issue as a result of the shomer's handling it, this is under the general, the broad category of gezel, of theft. And the term Elohim is a reference to judges, from which we derive the number three, as will be subject of the discussion in the Gemara later. Chavolos. Chavolos, the issue of battery, we said that the number 3 is written in that context, the truth is that this is a piece of logic. It's not an actual verse. The logic being, ma li choval begufoi, ma li choval bemamono. The Rashi addresses this toward the end of the narrow lines. Ma li choval bemamono, mimashma shenema shloisha bechovel bemamono. From the fact that we have psukim explicitly referring to 3 judges in the context of financial loss, as we mentioned in the case of gezelos, which is an example of financial loss, af chovel begufo, so too in bodily injury, bichlal. Bodily injury also is a form of loss. And all financial losses, whether it be loss as a result of something happened to a person's possessions or a person's bodily injury, are all categorized together. Hilkach behonami ksiv bei. Therefore, we view chavolos as if the Torah wrote number 3 judges in those in the case of battery as well. Continuing in the Gemara itself, we just mentioned that had the Mishnah spoken about gezelos chavolos, that would not have per se excluded including in our discussion hodos vavos. And the only reason the Mishnah featured gezelos v'chavolos was because those were the topics where the Torah mentioned the number of judges. Therefore, the Gemara goes on, Tana ma hein dine momenos. What are the dine momenos that we are discussing in the Mishnah? Gezelos v'chavolos. The only those cases, avol hoidos v'chavolos lo, but the cases of admission and loans are not part of our discussion. At this point, the Gemara will raise the question we raised earlier when we said we're excluding hoidos v'halvos. What do you mean we're excluding them? After all, they're also dine momentous. They're also issues of finances. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have one of our markings in our new edition of the Shas Ozer, described on the outside margin, tapnose, subtopic, Mivne, and structural note. We'll notice what we term the volcano marking. In this case, the volcano marking, one of our series markings, is explained here, Shlavim, stages, Lahazbir Shitas Rabbi Avo, to elaborate, explain his opinion, the Mishnah Senu Mahein Kotoni, that the structure of the Mishnah is one of explanation, where the Mishnah is self-explanatory. It opens up with a general category, Mahein Dine, and it said Dine Momenos really meant this is the opening category, and then it explains itself, which Dine Momenos do you mean? And we said Gezelos V'chavolos. So, point Aleph, Umimatim Hoidois V'avolos, Mitzorech Lemumchen. We will be saying in the Gemara's discussion that our intention of excluding Hoidos Vavos will be to exclude them from the necessity of having professional or expert judges. Point Beis, Ubecholzois Bo'inon Gimel Dayonim. But we still, nevertheless, do require for Hoidos Vavos 3. So that when we learn the Mishnah at the end of the day, according to Rabbi Avol, when it says Dine Momenus Beshlosha, and we're coming to exclude Hodois Vavos, we're not excluding them from the number 3. Hodois Vavos cases, those cases of loans and admissions of financial debt, those do require 3. However, they do not require 3 Mumchen, 3 expert judges. Now, let us see how this develops in the Gemara's discussion. Noticing, of course, the volcano shape around several words, representing stages of development here. Ulamai, the Gemara asks, with regard to what halacha do we exclude hodos v'havos? In lema delo bo'inon shlosha, if you were to suggest that hodos and havos do not need 3, but 2 would be enough, let us say. That can't be. By the way, before we go too much further in the Gemara, let us just note we have a long question, because this question, Ulamai, will take several lines to develop, and that's indicated by the shin, she'ela, which is encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, with the vertical line indicating, the vertical dashed line indicating the length of this inquiry. So we opened up already by saying, if you're suggesting that we exclude hodos vavos from even requiring three, that can't be. V'homa Rabbi Avo, we've dashed underlined Rabbi Avo and also provided a star in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to link up with a star up on the upper part of the page where Rabbi Avo appeared. Rabbi Avo himself, whom we're discussing, said, Shnayim Shedonu Dine Momonos, two judges who officiated at in a case of financial matters, L'divrei HaKol Ein Dine Hamdin. According to all opinions, Rabbi Avo says, Ein Dine Hamdin, their decision is of no value. Their decision is not worthy. So to suggest that we're excluding Hodos Vavos from the number three, that can't be. Not in the context of Rabbi Avo. Ella, maybe the lo bo'inon mulchin. Maybe Rabbi Avo is suggesting that we don't need expert judges for the case of Havos. Mumchin, Rashi describes, smuchin v'notlu rishus minosi lodun. People that received smicha for the purpose of judging and received permission to judge from the nosi, from the leader. So let us analyze this. Maybe the exclusion of hodos vavos is excluding them from the need of having mumchin. So we ask, my kosovar, of what opinion is our Tana that excludes hodos vavos from the case, from the necessity of mumchin? E kosovar eruv parshios kosov kan, if he is of the opinion of this, of the following very unusual phenomenon, but this is what we're going to describe momentarily, is a function of the strength of the oral tradition, Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition, serves to define and explain that which appears in the written Torah and the scriptures. Without the oral tradition, the written Torah has very limited understanding and meaning. We can give an arm's length of examples to that, but we're not going to do that in the context of our shiur. But one of these cases is Eruv Parshios, which states that in the middle of the parsha dealing with shomrim, with people appointed to watch articles, there are different types of shomrim. There's a person who's unpaid, a shomer chinam, there's a shomer socher, a paid bailey, there's a shoel, a person who borrows, who's also considered one of the types of shomrim. In the middle of that parsha, there's a posuk in Shmos, Perek Chof Beis, posuk Ches, that uses the expression ki hu ze. According to the theory that says Eruv Parshias Kosuv Kan, that posuk is a reference to an unrelated topic, a topic involving loans, where a person is sought for payment after having received a loan, and the borrower responds, I don't owe you the full amount that you're asking for me, I owe you only partial amount, which we call moide b'miktsas. So if you hold that Eruv Parshas Kosuv Kan, namely in the parsha, in the section of the Torah that features Shomrim, in which the word Elohim appears, and the word Elohim in this context is a reference to expert judges, to a reference to mumchin. This term Elohim used in, as opposed to, let us say, the term shofet. If that be the case, namely that Eruv Parshias Kosuv Kan, that the issue of loans appears in the middle of this parsha of Shomrim, then liboi nami mumchin. We should require, for the case of halvos, for loans, we should require experts as well. Because in this parsha of Shomrim, where the word Elohim appears several times, indicating expert, and you tell me Eruv Parshias Kosuv Kan, namely that the issue of Halvos is discussed here as well, in this very same parsha, then we should treat them with the same standard. And Halvos should require experts as well. V'i kosavar ein eruv parshis kosuv kan. And if our Tana is of the opinion that in the Parsha of Shomrim, where three judges are referred to, but Halvos, loans, are not discussed here, namely ein eruv parshis kosuv kan, shlosha lomali, or the Girsa of Rashi is shlosha minolan. From where would we know that you require three at all for the case of Halvos? After all, we said above, under Rabbi Avo, that we may be, in the stage two of our discussion, what we're suggesting was we would exclude Halvos from the need for Munchen, but not exclude them from the number three for three judges. But if you say Ein Eruv Parshas Kosov Kan, thereby telling me Halvos is not in the Parsha of Shomrim, which mentions experts, so fine, we don't need experts, but how are you going to know three as well? The Gemara answers, Le'olam, and we start here a long answer. This is indicated by the encircled tuf that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, and this extends to the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. Le'olam kosavar eruv parshias kosuv kan. Our Tana, claims Rabbi Avo, holds that the issue of loans is inserted, is encompassed by this parsha that dealt with Shomrim. Ubedinhu diliboy nami mumchin. And technically speaking, for Halvos, we should require experts as well. V'hai delo bo'inon mumchin. But that which we exclude Halvos for the need of having expert judges, mishum de Rabbi Chanina, based on Rabbi Chanina's teaching. What we're going to say is that from the Torah perspective, we should have experts for Havos, but through rabbinic intervention, we say that it's not necessary to have experts. What is Rabbi Chanina's principle? The Omer Rabbi Chanina, Dvar Torah, Echad Dinei Momenos, VeEchad Dinei Nefoshos, B'Drisha V'Chakira. Rabbi Chanina's principle appears in a different context, but we're going to borrow the idea that he expresses in that other context and import it to our discussion. The concept of Drisha V'Chakira is roughly translated as cross-examination of witnesses, whereby they're subjected to a series of questions. Questions involving time and place, and if we find that there is inconsistency between the two witnesses or the group of witnesses with regard to these questions known as Drisha V'Chakira, we render the group of witnesses invalid. The issue or the need to be subjected to Drisha V'Chakira applies equally to matters of cases of financial concern and capital cases as well. Shenamar, the Gemara continues at the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, as the Pasuk says, Mishpat Echad Yelochem, one standard of justice shall apply to you, namely one standard covering all cases, both Momon, finances, and Nefoshos, capital cases. Uma Tam Omru, so why has it been said, Dine Momonus Lo Bo'inon Drisha V'Hakira? Why do we see that financial matters do not require witnesses to be subject to this cross-examination? Kadesha lo tino deles bifnei lovin, so as not to lock the door in front of those seeking out loans. You can imagine if someone is asked for a loan, someone is asked to lend money to someone else, and he knows that in order to recover his money, he might have to appear in court and bring witnesses. And he also knows that witnesses at times slip up when it comes to cross-examination. And if they slip up, the lender will not get his money back. As a result of that, people will be very hesitant to extending loans. So we preempt this situation by saying that when it comes to Dine Momentus, we relieve the need for Drisha V'Chakira, and hence a person will be able to recover his loan more easily. Using that logic, in the case of the necessity to have mumchen as well. To find expert judges is not the easiest task in the world. So as a result of that, people likewise will feel, if I loan money, who says that when appearing in court we're going to necessarily find expert judges to judge the case? And if we can't find experts, so I'm not going to be able to recover my loan, hence I'm not going to loan money. So we preempt that situation as well by saying, for dinei momenus of halvos, loans, we compromise on that requirement and do not require experts. This piece of logic applying to loans. And as a result of that, we say we exclude loans from the necessity of having experts. However, not from the need for having three simple judges to judge cases of loans. The Gemara asks, Elamei Ata, if it is so that Hedyotos have permission, that commoners have permission to judge cases of halvos, of dine momenus, specifically halvos and holidos, to'u lo yishamu. If these hedyotos make a mistake in their judgment, they should not be obligated to compensate the wronged party. So the Gemara answers, if we relieve the judges, these hedyotos, these commoners that are serving as judges, from the need to offer compensation, then kol shekein ata noel delas bifnei lovin. And certainly people are going to be hesitant to extending loans. You'll be locking the door in the face of those seeking out loans, because people will be afraid of the judges making a mistake and not having a need to compensate for their error. So we say that even though they received permission to judge, if they err, they will have to compensate. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.